Today is June 2nd, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. Play me a theme, Ricky.
I can't handle it. So Jeff recorded the show last week, and now I've forgotten everything. thanks to all of you who wrote in talking about the show last week. We obviously had some hitches. Some of you didn't get the feed until later on in the week, and we fixed that. And
sorry,
you know, stuff happens. This is why we do a run like this. You know, get the Mondays out and make sure we know what we're doing. But we're gradually going to be transitioning to a situation where sometimes he records, sometimes I record. And we got something special going on this summer, which we're going to talk about next week.
Excellent.
But I figured I'd... Anyway, we got tons of Apple news this week. Some of it was expected, some wasn't. We'll do a quick recap of that, but we're not really going to do a context machine because the meat of this week's show... First of all, we don't really need one for the stuff that went on. And second of all, this week's show... we're going to take a look at a pro audio application. The vast majority have probably never heard of this before. But you've almost certainly heard the results if you listen to any type of popular music, not pop specifically or R&B or hip hop, whatever. If you listen to popular music of any kind, you've almost certainly heard the work of this application. It is extraordinary, and we're going to do something really cool, really sweet to demo it for you and talk a little bit about what it is. But first, let's do the news.
Now, the big news this week was expected. Apple officially rolled out iTunes Plus, which is the option to purchase the higher bitrate copy protection-free music through the iTunes Store. iTunes Plus launched with EMI's music library, including Pink Floyd, Frank Sinatra, The Rolling Stones, all of Paul McCartney's classic albums, and a lot more. Apple CEO Steve Jobs expects that over half of the music available through the iTunes Store will be offered in iTunes Plus format before the end of the year. And iTunes Plus tracks will be priced at $1.29 apiece. And the standard FairPlay copy-protected tracks will still be available, and they remain at 99 cents apiece. Apple Store customers that have previously purchased tracks at the lower fidelity 128 kilobit per second format can upgrade to the iTunes Plus 256 kilobit per second tracks for 30 cents a song, or about $3 for most albums. And EMI is also offering iTunes Plus versions of his music video collection. Video pricing remains unchanged. It's still $1.99.
Now, the second story of the week was one that I personally had been waiting for, and I suspect many other people have too. But this had not been officially announced ahead of time. Steve Jobs announced that a software upgrade for the Apple TV, available in a few weeks, will allow the Apple TV to display YouTube content. He also signaled that HDTV content will be available in iTunes sooner or later.
And third, and for many people, actually the most important news of the week, also came from Steve Jobs. He was a busy man this week. And he indicated that eventually the iPhone will indeed actually be open to third-party developers.
Mr. Jobs' exact words were, "I think sometime later this year we'll find a way to let third parties write apps and still preserve security. But until we can find that way, we can't compromise the security of the phone. Nobody's perfect, but we sure don't want our phone to crash. We would like to solve this problem. If you could just be a little patient with us, I think everyone can get what they want."
Developers and potential users, they've both been concerned that Apple would not allow any of the third-party applications on the combination iPod and smartphone device. Earlier this year, Apple wouldn't commit to opening the iPhone to developers, which left lots of people afraid that they would be locked out of coding for the device. Developers and users are excited at the prospect of third-party development on the iPhone because it will allow new and unique portable functionality, such as document reading and editing applications, novel interface touches, and on and on. You can look back at Ricky's article on the top 10 iPhone accessories, which will be linked to in the show notes, for some of the ideas that we all hallucinated about back in January.
And finally this week, Apple Inc. is now on the Standard & Poor's 100 Index. The company is replacing MedImmune, which is being acquired by AstraZeneca. This is not a big deal in and of itself, but it came in a week of extraordinary stock behavior. Apple stock jumped about 10 points over the course of the week to close at $118.40. At one point, it was up over 120 or 121. And after all our talk recently about Apple's P/E ratio, price-to-earnings ratio, and whether the price of the stock was inflated, the company's P/E jumped from around 31, where we were saying, it's high but not unreasonable, to more than 38 for a while. It closed the week at about 37.5. And all this, it seems, is on news that aside from the iTunes Plus release, which was known about previously, all of this news is going to have little obvious impact on Apple's earnings, at least in the next, in the foreseeable future. Another thing to note, the latest jump in price lofted Apple's market capitalization above $100 billion. It closed the week at about 102, a significant psychological marker indicating the relative size or importance of the company. For comparison, Dell's market capitalization is about $62 billion U.S. and IBM's is about 158. And that's it for the Context Machine fodder. No need for the Context Machine this week. Let's move right on to the product roundup.
Now, this week, we're doing a special product roundup on a Pro Audio application that Ricky's been working with for a couple months. So, Ricky, why don't you tell us, give us a quick overview of what you're going to talk about.
I got too many applications working here. I was late again. We're talking about a piece of software called Melodyne, and it's made by a company called Solemony. Now, I've been playing with this for a little while now, and I want to start by thanking one of our listeners, Matt McKenzie Smith, who's out in Australia, who I met several years ago at, it was actually the last Macworld Expo in Boston and on the East Coast. Met him out there, and he's actually, I want to send a shout out to him because he's kind of, I'm not sure even you know this, he's kind of the godfather of the Apple Weekly Report, or previously the Roundup, because he was the guy who, as we were setting this up and as we were getting our equipment together and figuring out how the best way to do the audio workflow at this end, he was the guy that was really helping me figure out some of the ways to go about this and has been very helpful along the way. He was also the guy that told me about Melodyne and made my ears perk up and made me go out and find this stuff. So shout out to Matt. Thanks so much for your help on this show. All the listeners appreciate it. And this one's for you. I think you'll enjoy this. He already knows, obviously, about the application. But what we're going to do here, it's rare that you get to demo anything in a podcast, right? Because a podcast is audio. In a video podcast, you can do a lot of that stuff. You know, you have the video, watch people, what they're doing on screen, whatever. We're not going to do that. You can't usually do that in an audio podcast, but when you're dealing with an audio application, you can, which is totally sweet. So we're going to kind of go through this. But first of all, Jeff, have you ever heard of Melodyne? Do you know anything about it?
I have heard of Melodyne, and it sounds like an amazingly cool application, and it's an audio editor that gives you some really unique controls over what you do with the sound that you want to manipulate, and I don't want to take any of the wind out of your sails, so I'll let you give all the details.
Well, first of all, it's a professional application, and depending on what type you buy, it comes in several different flavors. It costs somewhere between $200 and $700. Sometimes you buy it as a standalone application. Sometimes you buy it as a plugin for other audio applications. I'm using the plugin version. That's what they sent us for review. And I'm using it with Apple's Logic Pro, which is an audio recording suite. So that's the situation that I'm demoing it in. And there are some fancier features on some of the higher end versions of this software. But like Jeff said, it lets you edit audio. Now, normally when you say edit, that means, you know, cut a recording in a certain place or reorganize how audio goes or change volume or use effects like compression and delay and all these other things. That's not what this does. What this does is it changes the actual music in the recording, which is ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
We got to stop and pause here for a second. Jeff, have you ever used a MIDI editor?
I have. And actually, I can go totally esoteric on you. I have also used Metasynth, which is an insane, crazy audio product as well.
Yeah, so tell people a little bit about how a MIDI editor works, like what you can do with it. If I play something on a keyboard, a MIDI keyboard, and capture that with MIDI editing, what can I do with that audio?
Okay, well, actually, I'm going to use GarageBand as an example because that's easy for people to visualize. If you go and take one of the little audio loops, not the recorded loops, but the instrument loops that you have in GarageBand, you can go in and actually change the notes, the duration, the pitch, things like that on a note-by-note basis right there in GarageBand, just with each little loop.
Yeah.
In essence, that's what we're talking about here, just going in and essentially bit by bit manipulating the sound. So you can fix things that weren't correct. You know, maybe your tempo was off in one place, and instead of a recording, you just go and manipulate the data for the notes and make it sound how you want.
Yeah, so for the computer geeks out there, this might make sense. It might help to understand what Jeff is describing. When you play something on a MIDI keyboard, it sends information about, oh, you played this note at this time, with this, you hit the note this hard, you were not holding down the sustain pedal on the keyboard. And it saves all that information. And then when you play it back, it creates the audio on the fly with some software virtual instrument. And so what Jeff is saying makes perfect sense, right? Because it you understand that then that you can go in and change the duration of notes, the volume of them, or edit the order in which they were played, or splice them, whatever. Because it's all actual, it's just information about how to play notes, not actual recorded audio.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
So with Melodyne, you can do all of that with actual recorded audio. So there's this whole process at the beginning when you decide, okay, I want to use Melodyne on this audio. You dump it into the Melodyne plugin, and it plays it back. And what it does is it analyzes the music that you play. So if someone's saying ba-da-da-da-da, it goes back and it figures out, oh, they sang this note at this time for this long, and this is what the vibrato in their voice was, and this was how the note changed in very precisely. But then it also gets information about the quality of that person's voice, what makes it sound like their voice, and it separates that out from the actual notes that they were singing, all of this stuff. And then it displays it to you in a way where you can go ahead and you can edit the lengths of things, you can stretch time, you can adjust the timing of notes, you can adjust pitch, you can tweak the vibrato in someone's voice, which is crazy. You can change how they slide to notes. You can change the volume of individual notes that people sang. And it does it in this way that's completely natural. That sounds very natural. You can make it do very unnatural things, which is actually pretty cool, but you can make it so that it always preserves the quality of people's voices. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so this is something that people are experiencing all the time when they listen to or purchase professionally recorded music. The artist may have flubbed something up in the studio when they were recording, and instead of going back and re-recording, they'll just use Melodyne and they'll fix it.
Yeah. And so what you begin to understand as you use this thing and you see just how flexible and powerful it is, that it puts a tremendous amount of power in the hands of whoever is sitting behind the recording, the mixing board. and it reduces the responsibility that's placed on the artist to, you know, sing every note properly or sing every note with the timing or phrasing that ultimately the producer might want. And I guess the best thing to do right now is to just start playing some music. So let me explain what's about to happen here for the computer nerds. What we're about to do is something that Jeff and I were talking before the show. It's ridiculous that we can do what we're about to do. I have I have Logic Pro opened on my machine right now. We're recording the show in Ubercaster, and I've used Audio Hijack Pro to route Logic Pro into Ubercaster and capture the audio that I'm playing through it. So what I'm doing, I'm actually working on Logic Pro right now, manipulating this song and making everything sound the way I want to. And what I'm about to do is play for you a segment of a song. A good friend of mine up in New England named Mike Alcott, who's a singer-songwriter type, and he's at myspace.com/Mike Alcott if you like the stuff you're listening to. Figure I'd give him a shout-out, too. And I'm borrowing some of his music, and I'm going to mess around with it a little bit. Here is a quick segment out of his song.
Hey, Tommy B, why don't you rescue me from this dawning that the devil's laying down? Oh, it was 20 years of indifference till the covenant broke, crown shattered to the ground. Says, why don't you just pack your things and go?
Okay, so that's a clip out of his song.
Cool.
Now, let me just isolate one phrase out of this song, and I'm going to go ahead and solo one track. It's a backing track that he sings at one point during this song, and here it is.
Okay, now just for clarification for everyone playing at home, the file that you have in Logic Pro, is it a series of tracks already, or is it a single track with everything in it?
Now, this is split up, so everything I have... All of the individual tracks, the guitar tracks and the voice tracks, are all separated out.
Okay.
So right now, yeah, that's a good question. What I'm about to do is solo just one track in this big mix. So part of what you heard before sounded like this.
Oh, no. It was 20 years of indifference.
Now I'm going to stop. I'm going to back up just a little bit and solo one track. And here it comes.
22 years of indifference till it was the covenant broke, crown shattered to the ground.
So there's one little bit of what he sang. And right now, I'm going to play for you the same audio, the exact same audio, run through Melodyne, and all I've done is change some pitches. And here it is.
It was 22 years of indifference till it was the covenant broke, crown shattered to the ground.
Wow.
Why don't you?
So that is the same audio run through Melodyne and tweaked a little bit. And so with the new, let me go back and play everything with the original harmonies.
Oh, no. It was 20 years of indifference.
Sorry, that's the adjusted one. So let me just give you the adjusted ones.
20 years of indifference till the covenant broke, crown shattered to the ground.
So this is, it's a totally new harmony in this song, created from scratch from something that Mike never sang.
And it doesn't sound like a chipmunk.
It doesn't sound like...
Which is typically what you get when you raise the pitch.
Yeah, which is also unique, and there are reasons why that's unusual as well. You can actually create that effect if you want to, and we won't get into exactly how you do that, but it is possible to make people's voices sound totally different from when they did before. So take a listen to just this line one more time.
Up in the broke, crown shattered to the ground.
Now, one of the things that you can do is you can change the timing of notes. So this is going to sound a little weird, but I'm going to stretch out that word ground.
Up in the broke, crown shattered to the ground.
Now, one of the things that happens there at the end is there's that weird wobble in his voice, right?
Right.
And I'll try and play that one more time on its own. Up in the broke ground, shattered to the ground. Right there. So now what I'm going to do is pull out a little tool here, and I'm doing this, like I said, on the fly, so bear with me, but I'm going to pull out a little tool, and I'm going to suppress the vibrato in his voice. Check this out. Up in the broke ground, shattered to the ground. Isn't that amazing?
That was actually really cool.
Now,
so you could take this and have someone record a single track for you, and then hand it off to your audio engineer that's using Melodyne, and they can create all the harmonies and everything for an entire piece from one single track.
Yeah. Now, check this out. I've made it a little bit louder so that you can hear. Well, first of all, let me go back to the original line before any of this stuff went through Melodyne. So here's what it sounded like originally. Oh, no. It was 20 years of indifference. So that was the old way, right? And
right.
This is with the new bit. Oh, no. It was 20 years of indifference.
Till the covenant broke from shattered to the ground. Says, why don't you adjust?
Now, you might not want that big, long, extended thing. I actually meant to take that out before I played it back. But you can do all this stuff.
Yes, you can. That was really, really cool. And I know I keep saying this is really cool, but having spent years with all kinds of musical training and seeing what you're or hearing what you're doing right now, I'm totally astounded. And I'm sure that the listeners we have that are into the whole music thing are sitting back going, "Holy crap, I want to do that."
Now, there's something even more extraordinary. There's a punchline to all of this. This is the product that they had. The plugin is fairly new. That's only been around for, I think, about 8 months or so. They've had this ability to edit audio in this way for some years now. Recently, I think in the last, I'm not sure how long it is, it might be a year or two, they released a version of this that will actually take what they call polyphonic music. What I was just playing for you was a single line, right? It was just Mike singing.
Right.
They have software that can take polyphonic music, more than one sound at a time. So if you play a chord on a guitar, or if you play a chord on a piano, an audio piano, not a MIDI keyboard, or any other instrument that produces more than one sound at a time, you can actually use Melodyne to break up those chords. It'll recognize all of the six strings of the guitar, and you can edit those independently.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, there's no way to describe how insane that is when you think about what's involved in that. But you can, if you listen to what I just made Mike do, which, frankly, on a good day, he could do in the studio, but this was just something he sang, one take, blared it into a microphone, and I did this with it. If you imagine being able to take someone playing some silly thing on the guitar and turn it into, you know, a face-melting guitar solo, thank you to what's-his-face, School of Rock. it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can picture someone sitting down in a studio or anywhere that they can be recorded and saying, okay, here's the idea I'm thinking of. And they just kind of riff something out on a piano or a guitar or whatever. It gets recorded. And then they sit down at the computer and take their concept and pull it apart in Melodyne and turn it into a professional arrangement.
Yeah, and that is exactly one of the things that this allows you to do. There are a couple of caveats here, and it's important to point this out. You do need to know what you're doing to some greater or lesser degree. I mean, it doesn't, for example, if someone sounds emotionally wooden when they originally sing it into a microphone, it's still going to sound wooden when it's messed around with, even if all the pitches change and they're singing, you know, in places that they never could have imagined singing in terms of range. So the emotional content all needs to be there. And there are other constraints. You do need to work with high quality audio. If there's weird noise, if you're working, for example, off of your laptop mic or off of an iSight mic, that has a lot of noise in it that will get messed around, and it doesn't do very well when you send it through all of this processing. So you do need to work with high quality audio. You do have some sense of what's going on. There's no magic make it better button. Even that actually isn't true. They do have a magic make it better, make everything on pitch button, and make everything even in time button, the same way that GarageBand does for MIDI.
Wow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? But it is, you know, it is a heavy-duty application. It is a pro audio application, and so there are those caveats that go with it. But it is extraordinary, and the fact that it's possible at all is, in a sense, miraculous.
Yeah, I would have to agree. And I knew some about Melodyne ahead of time, but just the brief demonstration that you've given today, I mean, holy crap. I had no idea how much you could really do with Melodyne. I mean, that's just stunning.
It's pretty wild.
And actually, it's doubly stunning because not only are you doing these amazing things, just like, okay, here, watch, I'll change the pitch so we have a new harmony, bloop, and it's done. But it's also routing back through Ubercaster. It's all happening in real time. We're like half a country apart from each other. We can both hear all of it. Technology rocks.
Technology is pretty dope. I'm wondering if there's anything I should show at the last minute, but I'm not sure I can come up with anything on the fly. I could just change all the notes and make it sound awful, but I won't do that right now. So I think we should probably call it quits for that. I want to thank again Matt for pointing Melodyne out to me, and I hope you all enjoyed listening to some of this stuff. And I want to thank Mike for the use of his music, and check his stuff out, myspace.com/MikeAlcott. And, of course, that's in the show notes as
Excellent.
Well. And let's get on with it.
Okay, and this is where I say, and that's the news. Thanks for listening to the Apple Weekly Report.
The content is still written by the folks at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom for TMO. That's all I've got.
And stay subscribed.
Until next week, everyone. We'll see you online. Cheers.